Happy Earth Day, guys! Today we have a very special episode about Earth Day, where we discuss the history and the story behind Earth Day, how we can help, where we can donate and protest, and what we ourselves can do to change our habits, taking it a step further in combating climate change. So let's talk about the history of Earth Day, which I'm getting from the website earthday.org, which you should actually check out if you want to donate and get involved. The first Earth Day wasn't too long ago, actually. It was on April 22nd, 1970. This year actually marks the 51st year. So, Earth Day is the anniversary of the birth of the modern environmental movement. So, let's go back a bit to pre-Earth Day, in the decades leading up to the first Earth Day, where Americans were consuming vast amounts of leaded gas through massive and inefficient automobiles. And industries and factories were belching out smoke and sludge and smog, and they had little fear of the consequences from either the law or the bad press, especially because there weren't too many restrictions on corporations. And in fact, according to earthday.org, air pollution was commonly accepted as the smell of prosperity, which looking back upon is rather sad. And even sadder, up until this point, mainstream America was pretty oblivious to environmental concerns, especially on how a polluted environment would threaten human health. But there was a turning point, a little change in scenery, if you will, where Rachel Carson's New York Times bestseller, Silent Spring, was published in 1962. And this book sold over 500,000 copies in 24 countries, and it raised public awareness and concern for living organisms, the environment, and importantly, it linked pollution and public health. Carson, who focused on chemical companies in this, accused the chemical industry of spreading disinformation and criticized public officials for accepting the industry's marketing claims without question. And chemical companies hated this. This book was met with fierce opposition by these companies, but the public disagreed. And because of public opinion, it brought about numerous changes and spurred a reversal in the United States' national pesticide policy, which led to a nationwide ban on DDT, a very harmful chemical for agricultural uses, and helped to inspire an environmental movement that, combined with Earth Day, would eventually lead to the creation of the US's Environmental Protection Agency. So now let's move on to good old Senator Nelson, a rather important character. Senator Gaylord Nelson was a junior senator from Wisconsin who had long been concerned about the deteriorating environment in the United States. He was inspired by, in 1969, when in January of 1969, he and others witnessed the ravages of a massive oil spill in Santa Barbara, California. He was also further inspired by the students' anti-war movement and the protests, and he wanted to combine the energy of the student protests and the emerging public consciousness about air and water pollution. So, he announced the idea for a teach-in on college campuses to the national media and news outlets, and he persuaded Pete McCloskey, who was a conservation-minded Republican congressman, to serve as his co-chair. And the two recruited Dennis Hayes, a very important person in the story, who was a young activist, to organize campus teach-ins. And, importantly, they choose April 22nd, which was more significant than we think, because they chose it specifically because it was a weekday that fell between spring break and final exams, so it would maximize the greatest student participation. So Hayes built a national staff of 85 people to promote events across the nation, and the effort soon broadened to include a wide range of organizations and faith groups and churches and others, and they changed the name to Earth Day, which was super important because it sparked national media attention and caught on across the country. Earth Day inspired 20 million Americans, which at the time was 10% of the total population of the US, and they took to the streets and parks and auditoriums and public places to demonstrate the impacts of 150 years of industrial development, which had left a growing legacy of serious human health impacts, which we covered in our last episode of Minorities versus Climate Change if you want to check it out. Anyways, thousands of these universities organized protests against the deterioration of the environment, and there were massive coast-to-coast rallies in cities, towns, and communities, and groups that were fighting individually. So there was one group for oil spills on one group against polluting factories and one group against power plants and one group against raw sewage and toxic dumps and pesticides and freeways and the loss of wilderness and the extinction of wildlife. And all of these groups united on Earth Day around these shared common values of protecting the Earth, protecting our only home. In fact, Earth Day in 1970 achieved a very rare political alignment because it enlisted support from both Republicans and Democrats, both the rich and the poor, both urban dwellers and farmers, both business leaders and labor leaders. And this is very rare, especially rarer today when you look at the political division. Anyways, by the end of 1970, the first Earth Day led to the creation of the United States' Environmental Protection Agency, and it led to the passage of other firsts of their kind environmental laws like the National Environmental Education Act and the Occupational Safety and Health Act and the Clean Air Act. And these laws have protected millions of men and women and children from disease and death, and have protected hundreds of species from extinction. As 1990 approached, another group of environmental leaders approached Dennis Hayes again to organize another major campaign for the planet. This time, Earth Day went global. It mobilized 200 million people in 141 countries, lifting environmental issues to the world stage, bringing attention to countries all over. Earth Day 1990 gave a huge boost to recycling efforts worldwide and helped pave the way for the 1992 United Nations Summit, Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. Because of his work, Nelson was actually awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom under Bill Clinton. Anyways, going back to Dennis Hayes, he was again once approached as the millennium came, throwback to the 2000s, and Hayes agreed to spearhead another campaign, this time focusing on global warming and a push for clean energy, which we are still fighting for. With 5,000 environmental groups in a record of 184 countries reaching out to hundreds of millions of people, Earth Day 2000 built both global and local conversations. And this time we had the internet, and it leveraged this power to organize activists all around the world. And it featured a drum chain that traveled from village to village in Gabon, Africa. In fact, during this time, hundreds of thousands of people also gathered on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. for a First Amendment rally. And 30 years on, Earth Day 2000 had sent our world leaders a very clear message. Citizens around the world wanted, and still want, a quick and decisive action on global warming and clean energy. So that's all for the story of Earth Day. Okay, so what can we do? Let's start off with food. I recommend trying to reduce your meat and dairy intake if you are able to and can afford to do so. Veganism is a great option. Obviously, it's not sustainable for everyone, but if you can, try. There's no harm in trying. And it's important to change your diet because, in case you didn't notice, our world is pretty polluted, and factory farming contributes heavily to environmental problems all over the world. I do have an episode planned on veganism and the pros and cons for it, but that's for a later date, so I won't be going too much into depth right now. As for other things, if you can, try not to use too much plastic, and if you need to use something disposable, try to use paper instead, although reusable options are the best. This is, you know, stuff you guys have probably heard a million times, and honestly for me, doing some of these helps almost alleviate my personal guilt of not helping the environment. So I mean, maybe I just care about the earth for purely selfish reasons, but whatever motivation I may have, I do still want to help the earth because I do try to do my best. I use reusable water bottles, and my family uses reusable tote bags and such when we go to the grocery store. And there's so many different things that individuals can do that if you look into, if you just Google it, you can find how you can change your lifestyle to better support the environment. However, in addition to individual action, it's important to remember that we should be holding big corporations accountable for their actions as well, because it's not only up to the individual consumer and common person to hold complete responsibility for climate change. Other than these lifestyle changes, we can do, we can organize and protest safely and get involved with groups working to fight the climate crisis. Obviously, if you are protesting, protest safely, and online protests like Fridays for Future is a great way to do this and spread the word. Also, if you are able to vote, keep the climate crisis in mind. Get behind AOC's new Green New Deal. Again, I do have a planned episode about politics and climate change, but more on that later. It's important that if you have the power to vote and get and support political candidates, it's important that those we elect are also those that believe in fighting against the climate crisis. Moving on to another individual thing that you can do, you can try not to buy too many things unless it's absolutely necessary. And when you do buy stuff like clothes or even furniture, buy secondhand or from sustainable businesses. Ashley, also known as Best Dressed on YouTube, has a really good video on thrifting and where to buy clothes sustainably. It's super in-depth. And remember that it's important to shop from sustainable brands because corporations are responsible for much of the world's current state, and who you support does matter. And even though sometimes shopping sustainably is harder because it costs a lot of money, buying things secondhand is also fantastic and cheaper. And finally, if you do have the money, donate and stay informed. I have a list of resources up on the CardCo, which you can check out at icebreakerpodcast.card.co. And under the doc resources to help, you'll find a bunch of petitions and links and ways to donate. So, also, check us out on Instagram at icebreaker.podcast, where you can find posts and infographics on how to combat climate change. Our website is also linked in the bio there. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Happy Earth Day. Once again, I hope you learned something about the history and the background, and take into consideration how we should help the environment. Bye!